You are listening to the Photo Bomb Podcast with the world's greatest photographers, Boo Ray and Gary.
Welcome to the Photo Bomb Podcast. My name is Boo Ray Perry, and joining me always is Gary Hughes.
Hey, man.
I'm a little tired. I feel like we've done a lot of podcasts.
I feel like we've done more podcasting than we're actually doing.
I feel, it's almost like we did an entire podcast, and then you discovered that you made a mistake. And the entire podcast was ruined, and now we have to do another episode.
It's something that's never happened to me before. Oh, wait. Yes,
it has. Yeah, but it hasn't happened since like we first started.
Yeah, I know. I really screwed the pooch. Like, to give you an example of what it's like, be like if you were to record a really good episode of a podcast with a friend,
right,
and then realize the whole time that you weren't recording properly.
Yeah. That's what it's like.
That's what it would
almost
be like.
Almost exactly like it.
It would be very, very, very similar to that situation.
Okay, so this is episode 71. Is this actually 71?
This is going to be 71, which will come out Monday before. This is going to be released.
So tomorrow is
recording Tampa Photobomb Live at the Tampa Air Professional Photography Association.
That's tomorrow. So today is the day before that.
Today is the day before that.
Okay.
So we're really, really excited.
Deja vu.
The problem is now I can't remember what the heck we talked about.
Oh, which tells you just how good it was. Such a good episode. We can't remember anything we talked about.
I was in a fugue state.
I want to talk about, I got a scammer emailing me this week.
Really?
And they have upped the game. Okay, so we've all gotten...
Back in the day, it was pretty obvious.
Yeah, but we've all gotten the... Yeah, but we get the specific photography scammer. We've all gotten the guy, and it's, my family is having a reunion, and can you photograph it? And I want to send you a check. And then they want to send you a check that's for more money than they're paying you, and have you forward some of that money to somebody else.
And in the meantime, they pull the other check, and then there's no money ever.
And there's the scam, right? So you get that. So you get that from time to time, and you recognize that right away. Well, because I guess that's not working anymore.
Right.
I got the guy who said he's getting married.
Yes.
He's from out of town.
Yes.
He told me where, and it was a legitimate venue.
Right.
Asked me how much. Asked me legitimate questions. I came back and quoted him. Everything was fine. And then he came back and said, great, I want to send you a down payment to hold the date and everything.
Right.
And I said, great. I'm going to send you a questionnaire for your information, and then I'll send you a contract, and we'll get this going. And then he wrote back and said, oh, I don't need that stuff. I just need to get the down payment. That's all. I just need the down payment. That's all I need.
Got it.
Wait, the doorbell's about to ring.
Doorbell?
No, he just drops it and leaves.
Dropped it. Yeah.
The UPS guy just walked up. Gary's like, oh my God, the UPS guy's coming up.
I thought I was going to interrupt the show, and I said, no, that'll be pretty funny.
No.
Let's just let the doorbell
and
ring.
And then he didn't even ring the doorbell. What is it with that, by the way? They don't even ring the, they just drop, they assume we're not home.
Right.
Because it's the middle of the day.
Right.
Right. So anyway.
They don't realize what a layabout you are.
Yeah. So he says, no, I don't need, we don't need to do the contract and everything right now. Just let me send you the deposit. And then he says, and my uncle has volunteered to pay for this for me. And right then I knew. I'm like, oh, so the check's going to come from somebody else.
You My don't, very fine uncle.
You don't want to give me your contact information or sign a contract. You just want to send me $500. So I just wrote him back and I said, oh, no, a contract protects both of us. Just fill this out and we'll get things rolling. Never heard from him again.
Yep. And oh, I got a funny one, actually, an email inquiry that I got yesterday that I can read to you. And I don't think it's a scam. I just think it might be somebody who doesn't type well. Check this out.
See, that's the first sign. And it's almost, they almost always are bad typers.
Okay, so this is in regards to our Headshots for Charity event that we did in Atlanta. So this was last week. And it says, hello, I love to help good causes, exclamation point. I am fortunate to have a great smile with no need for surgery and only 3 years of braces. Like, what?
Okay.
And?
All right.
Like, I'm sure she's a perfectly lovely person, but
okay.
It's like, because when somebody inquires with me to take their picture from a business, I say, how have you had any oral surgeries or ever had braces?
That's the first question.
And if you've had braces for more than 3 years, it's a no-go.
That's right,
I am not going to take your money.
I've got to draw the line somewhere.
That's funny.
Man, so you last week had your hell week, didn't you?
Well, no, no, that was 2 weeks ago in Las Vegas.
Oh.
That was my hell week.
No, oh, but you came back from Las Vegas.
Sick.
We're sick, and then you went immediately into your, like,
I had
dance
to shoot
photos.
Dance photos.
Dance,
I do dance photos,
dance.
And I thought we'd talk about that in this episode. We'd actually try and have a educational episode about dance. So it's about volume.
Nah, let's not do that.
Yeah, okay. Because I just did my dance photos. Now, I've been doing dance photos for this school for 7 years now. And it's the only school I do. I've been asked to do some other schools, and we never can do it because the other schools don't want to do it the way that I do it.
Okay.
Now, I'm very big about, hey, you know, take the work, get the work.
Right.
But when it comes to this particular thing, I have learned from experience, and I'm sure a lot of photographers will back me up on this. Most dance schools, what they want you to do is, can you please come in for like 4 days, set up in our studio, and for 4 days, every class that comes in for their dress rehearsal, can you then pull them in and take pictures of everybody?
Right. They do not want to make any extra day where people have to come in for a photo.
They do not want people to prepay.
You get that a lot with sports in general.
They don't want you to prepay. They don't want any of that. They just want you to come in and spend like 4 days shooting everybody in the school and then try to sell to them.
Which is terrible.
And you're not gonna make any money.
And the sales are gonna stink. You'll make money, but not good money.
No, it's awful.
Yeah,
the problem is
you'll shoot 400 kids and make $800.
Yeah, and the problem is there's always some mom whose kid goes there who now has bought a camera and maybe some lights, and she's willing to do it.
Right.
Because, I'll do it. Sure. This will be great.
And she'll do it however they want to do it.
That's right. And she'll do it for 1 year, maybe two.
Let's say dad with a camera, yeah. Let's not be sexist.
And then she won't do it anymore. Because she'll realize, wow, this, after I'm done here, I'm not making any money.
I worked 50 hours and made $500.
Oh, and the studio wants a kickback too.
Yeah.
And the studio wants a kickback, which by the way, I'm fine with.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't have a problem with the kickback to the studio. They're bringing you all these customers. They deserve, just like a salesman. If I'm going to bring you 800 customers, I deserve a piece. And yeah, they do.
Yeah, okay. Why not?
So what happened was 7 years ago, this dance school owner came to me and she said, I've had a terrible experience with photographers. Pictures not delivered on time and you can't track them down, et cetera. And would you, like to do it? And I said, sure. I've never done it before. But she said, I want to deliver in a timely manner and I don't want to have to deal with complaints from the parents. So I said, okay.
Well, then you should just get out of business.
Yeah. So I set it up and I said, okay, so let's set this up. So here's what I came up with. I don't know anyone else who does it this way. And I'm not saying I recommend you do it this way because, as I mentioned, only one dance school does it this way with me and everyone else rejects me when I tell them this is how we do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. First of all, we have a special day for dance pictures. So it's not, I don't come in and set up and take pictures of the kids when they come in for their dances or for their training. It is this Sunday all day long and you sign up. You sign up at 2 o'clock. It's the Tuesday tap class. Sign up if you're going to bring your kid in their costume and have their picture done. So we have a special day for it. Okay. That's step one.
Right.
Step two, it's prepay. You come in and you prepay.
Right.
But here's where I do things really weird.
Okay.
Our prepay system is set up like this. We have three packages. You come in, you prepay. Say you buy the smallest package, which is $45. You prepay for the smallest package, and then we give you a code. I'm going to put everything online in like 3 or 4 days that I shot. You are going to go online. You are going to look at the pictures. You're going to pick out the things for your package. And then when you check out, you're going to put this code in. Basically, I've given you a gift certificate for $45.
Right.
However, if you go online and you see your pictures and you decide you want a different package or you want a la carte or you want a collage or you want whatever, just pick out whatever you want. And then when you check out, put in your code and you're going to get a $45 credit.
Perfect.
So what's happened is the parents understand, they don't even bother to worry about what they're going to order. They just come in and go $45. They just buy the, because I'm not taking your kid's picture unless you're willing to commit $45 to me.
Right.
And they just go ahead and buy the $45. And then some of them go on and buy literally $300 worth of pictures.
Sure.
Right. Here's the thing. The images are only going to go online. It used to be for 2 weeks, but now I do it for the whole summer because I realized we can't really deliver until the end of the summer anyway. That's when dance class starts again.
Right.
So they go on for like a month. At the end of that month, and I'm going to send out emails to let you know, if you have not gone online and picked out your pictures, I'm going to pick out your pictures and print the package you paid for.
Yeah, that's awesome, though. You got nothing hanging in the wind.
Because you got nothing. So as opposed to the people who say, we're going to take all the pictures and put them online, and then everyone can go and buy your pictures. No. 20% of the people are not going to buy their pictures, and you're going to be trying to track them down. Because you have to remember, with us, with photography, a big part of us is shipping. We want to order the whole thing in one shot and pay shipping one time.
Right.
And people don't understand that.
Depending on your lab, if you get one order altogether, they don't charge you any shipping at all.
Right. If it's big enough, if it's over $50, shipping is free.
Absolutely.
Versus, $7, $8, $10 maybe for shipping on a bunch of...
if you have 50 orders all going one at a time,
correct,
you're going to pay shipping on all those orders.
Correct.
Yeah.
So our whole purpose was, and we used to do it over 2 weeks. It used to be they go online, 2 weeks later they come offline, and a week later they are delivered. We are done.
Yeah. That's the other thing I was just thinking about as you were saying it is when you're doing portraits at volume, The longer it drags out working with that one club or group or whatever, right. the less money you're making.
Yes.
The more time you're spending, so you want to get it wrapped up, all the images delivered, be done filling every order as soon as humanly possible.
Right. Right.
That's how you keep it profitable. If you drag it out, having to deal with different people, now they want to phone in an order, they want to do this, you're chasing down what numbers they want. Every time you got to deal or interact or spend more time on it, you're losing money.
Well, you know, but the thing about that is, like I said, it used to be a 2-week turnaround, and then this last year, it was the whole summer. And we actually did well, despite that it was a longer order period time.
Believe it or not, I think that's pretty reasonable.
We always have people who go, we took the pictures and then we went on vacation for 2 weeks.
Yeah, you do.
We come back and you've shut down the thing.
You'll get more complaints if you only do it for 2 weeks. But the summer is reasonable. 30 days minimum, I would say.
And it makes it a lot easier for me because the orders trickle in and I can just fill them at my leisure. Whereas before it was, got to get them all filled because I got to get them in print in 2 weeks and get them delivered.
Right.
Now I have more time to get it done and more time to answer questions.
Yep.
You know, but I don't know anyone else who does it that way. Everyone else just comes and shoots and then sells after. And when I've been approached by other schools and asked to do it that way, I did it one time. It was a nightmare. That school made 25% of the amount of money that the other school that I work for makes.
Right.
I have never given the school that I do it now every year, they get a nice check from me. It's definitely worth their while to have me come in.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, and I just wish more people would do it that way so that we could, you know, because the dance schools, when they have you come do it, they're not thinking of it as a way for them to make money.
Right.
They're like, oh, so maybe I'll make a couple $100 or whatever. But they're just thinking it's a service that my people want.
Right.
And they should be thinking of it as a way to make money.
Absolutely.
Because the school that I work with, the woman is like, this is going to be a nice check for me if I do it right. So she gets the word out and makes sure everybody knows and makes sure they all come in and you get it all done. And she gets a nice little check out of it. So, you know, it's been 7 years now we've been doing it. And she's happy as can be. And the first year you get the moms who are... but I don't want to pay for the pictures I haven't seen them. Here's the thing. Satisfaction guaranteed. Satisfaction guaranteed. You go online and see your pictures. If you don't like them, you send me an email. I'll absolutely send you a check.
No problem.
No problem. I got no problem with that. But if you're not prepared to at least write me a check for $45, I'm not taking your kid's picture.
Here's the thing. We've done volleyball clubs, which is like kind of our main on the volume side of our business. We have a separate brand, a separate website for volume stuff. And the thing that I know that is 100% true when you do volume photography, when you change something between years, even if that change is better, you're going to get...
People hate change.
People are going to hate it.
They hate all change.
Not everybody, but you're going to get a lot of complaints anytime anything changes. So we went from last year when we do the team shots, we get all the girls out on the volleyball court with the net and we take their picture and then that's their team photo. And then this past year, we shot all it to save time because we'd have to shoot all the girls individually, then go out onto the court, shoot the team shot, and then go back and shoot all the girls individually again, and then go out and do a team shot. I said, I'm going to shoot all the girls individually full length, and then I'm going to composite the team shots later on, make it a really cool like extreme sports banner.
Right.
And probably about 75% of the parents loved it, thought it was great. You probably had about 10% indifferent, maybe didn't even notice that there was a difference. And then you had a small group that were like, rabble, rabble, rabble. And so we...
What was their biggest complaint? What did about that?
Just that it looks different. They're not used to seeing... composite work because it just in my area it just doesn't exist,
and that's the new thing, man.
Right?
You talk to this Richard Sturtevant, you talk to those the guys who
Ty Fisher.
They are that's where they're making their money.
Yeah, Ben Shirk, like those guys. Yeah, absolutely. And but that's the thing is, it's awesome. And now there are services that will do those composites for you. And I don't want to get off what you're doing because I think you're doing. But I will say I just used and they do not sponsor the show. I just used a company for the first time called Rebuku.
Okay.
REBOOK. And then you with an umlaut, Rebuku.
Rebuku.
And that's, I think that's Ty Fisher, who's a volume sports photography, next gen sports photography, does a lot of volume sports and stuff. And that's like his big business. He started a company because of his needs. He started a company to basically enable you, any photographer at any level, to have the type of compositing work that he has by using. And so they offer services, clipping services, and not only will they do cut stuff out of the background for you, but they will also, they will make a whole composite for you. You send them pictures of 15 individual girls, they will cut them out, add a really cool sports background that's relevant, use the colors of the team, put in logo, wording, whatever you ask them to, and they'll put together a whole composite for you. I just sent them one this week, first time I've ever used them. And it was for a sports banner, because what we do to keep a good relationship with our clubs is we shoot for club teams and not schools. So the club teams, basically, it's an expensive proposition. It's about $3,000 on average for these girls to play. But these girls are also mostly really college-bound. Like, they're going to play competitively, and their hope is, for a lot of these parents and girls, is that they're going to get a scholarship for volleyball.
These are volleyball players?
Yeah, they're gonna
girls? How old are these girls?
Anywhere from 10 to 18.
Okay, so none of them are over 18?
No.
Okay. I'm just saying you don't.
You're a fan of volleyball.
I'm a fan. Yes, I'm a big fan of the over 18 volleyball players.
Let me just say, Olympic volleyball is pretty great sport to watch.
Yeah.
Now, so basically, what happens?
They're so fit.
They are very fit, like a lot of athletes.
Yeah.
Like Dee Snider is fit.
Yeah. Very fit.
Anyways, so we make a big banner, a 6-foot by 8-foot banner, and we do a composite of all the senior girls that are college committed.
Okay.
And then we list all their names on the banner. And it's a big vinyl banner, and we give it to the club every year to hang in their gym so that all year in their facility, all the other girls playing, like, those are the girls that succeeded. Those are the girls that went to college, that got scholarships, and we do the picture. It's a composite, and each of the girls is wearing the college T-shirt of the college they're going to. And
do you photograph them in that T-shirt?
Yes.
Okay.
So we go in on a separate day from when we do the regular pictures, and we have just the girls come in, just the seniors that are committed to colleges for volleyball. And we make this banner. And last year, I can't tell you how much I had to go buy a background, and it was a great background. The banner turned out great. And I basically had to learn how to do this. I spent hours and hours doing it. And then it looked pretty good when I was done. I was very happy with it. But then I sent this year, I was like, I'm not going to mess with it. I got too much going on. Studio's being remodeled. I'm trying to finish up my book. I'm traveling. I'm doing charity events, and I'm speaking, and I've got conventions, and I was like, I'm just not going to screw with it this year. So I had heard about Ribuku from Ty Fisher, who I met at the Georgia convention last year. And anyway, it was his company. And then Melanie Anderson had said to me, you know, who's a big advocate of theirs, oh, you got to use them. They're great. So I sent them, I think, 18 girls from this one club that were college committed. I sent them 18 photos, and I typed out into an email. I said, this is what I need. Here are all the girls' names and the colleges they're committed to. Here are the team colors. Here's the team logo. And here's what I want. Boom. And so they sent me back the next day a better sports composite than I could have ever done for myself. And not only that, but all that custom work, and it was $20.
Whoa. Okay, well, that's cool.
The composite.
Let me see that. Wow, that's great.
Isn't that awesome?
That's great. Okay, well, that's done. I've been trying to sell my dance girls on something where I put, like, because with dance, you have what they call the company girls who are in a company and they compete.
Right.
And I'm like, I'd like to put together a composite of all the company girls together and the name of the studio. And I talked to Bobby about it. And they're like, eh. And I'm like, I think you don't understand what I'm describing.
We just started doing it for the club. We didn't say, hey, how about we do this?
So I think I'm going to try I'm going to send something off to them and see what they come back with. Yeah. And then
get a good look. Look at the detail.
I'm looking at it now. It looks fantastic.
Yeah. And that was like better than the one I spent like a week on last year.
Right.
And they've got designers. Some of the best photographers in the industry who do this type of work are designing the backgrounds for them. And they've got people doing the work, and it is spectacular. And
they should be sponsoring the damn show,
right? Anyway,
it's like an infomercial.
I know. I'm just saying. If when something's awesome, how much do we talk about something's awesome?
Absolutely.
So I tried them out for the first time. I really believe in what they're doing, and they're making it so that small photographers, small businesses doing big volume work can get the type of work done. Like, people say all the time, it's like, hey, that's really great, but I don't do that. Or I don't know how to do that.
Right.
You don't have to know how to do it. You just pay somebody else a very reasonable amount of money.
Yeah, I want to do something like this, but I do not want to be Richard Sturdivant.
Exactly. You will get that level of work. All you got to do is send in the photos and all the background, everything. And I would happily post this on the page. I will post a link to their website where you can see examples of what they do.
Right.
And let me tell you, the work that they do on the website is exactly what they're going to give you. Obviously, dependent on the quality of the images you send them, but they're going to give you that level of detail. So we'll put a link to Ribuku on the Photobomb podcast page just to show you what they're doing. But I would post this particular image, but some of the girls are not 18 yet, and all their names and stuff are on it. So I'm not going to do that.
Right.
But I will put a link to this. And let me tell you, $20, you can't beat it. Because if you've got let's say you got 25 teams in a club, you know, and you know, you can, for $20 per team picture, you know how many of those you're going to sell? You can make really cool. Anyway, so this is going to be a banner that's going to hang in there all year long. And what's cool about doing these banners, which is kind of the overall point I was getting to, is that we didn't ask them, hey, do you want this? They all, a lot of clubs will make a banner like this, and it's just their logo and the names listed. They don't have anything like this. So this is one of the reasons, like you said, there's always a parent with a camera that can take pictures. And I'm telling you, every year, at least five or six different photographers try to take our clubs away from us.
Right.
And they can't.
Right.
Because they'll, you know, because of stuff like this, because we do this. And we also get it done and to them before their big end of the year awards banquet. So they unveil it. It's a whole big deal.
Oh.
And who else would do this, you know, for nothing? I pay for this. It comes out of my pocket, but I do it just to keep.
What's the banner cost you? How big is the banner?
6 foot by 8 foot.
Whoo.
Yeah.
That's big.
It comes printed on vinyl with grommets. And most labs, I looked on several different labs' website. Will, I know ACI, H&H, or a few labs that print these types of banners, but mm-hmm. their limit is 4 feet on the shortest side is 4 feet. So 48 inches. We had printed last year with Colorado Timberline, who we used, and they do gigantic ones. They did 8 foot by 6 foot. And I don't recall exactly. I think it's about $150.
Okay.
Maybe 120. But don't quote me on it. Go to their website and look at their catalog.
Yeah, that's not a bad marketing expense.
No, to keep a club that's potentially, you know, in the thousands of dollars a year.
Right.
Because these are then, when you do club sports, it's people with money most of the time.
Right.
Because they're paying thousands of dollars for their kid to play a sport.
Right.
Like, they're going to pay $3,000 a year for the next 8 years. They're going to spend $24,000. Hopefully, their kid will get a full scholarship to college and save them a little bit more than what they put in. So it's sort of like an investment for their education a lot of times.
By the way, to a call back to an episode many episodes ago,
many
you just mentioned
ago.
It made me think about this. I was just talking to the woman who owns the dance studio who we did the dance pictures for, and her son got accepted to Duke, $60,000 a year.
Really?
$60,000 a year.
At Duke?
At Duke.
College is out of control, man.
Not counting room and board.
That's just their tuition?
Yeah.
That's for out of state?
Yeah, for out of state.
Duke's not a private college, is it? Is Duke a private college?
I don't know. I think Duke is private.
Okay,
yeah, because like University of North Carolina and stuff would be...
Most people in this country don't even make that a year for a whole family to live on.
By the way, she was on Dancing with the Stars. The dance instructor, the woman who owns the studio, her name is Sandy Carl, and she owns a studio called Carl and DeMarco, and she's 70-something years old now, and one of her students many years ago was Nick, what's-his-face, from NSYNC.
Oh, yeah, Nick.
Who was on Dancing with the Stars, and when he was on Dancing with the Stars, he talked about how he had a dance instruct teacher when he was young that meant a lot to him, and they
Backstreet
came,
Boys?
And they, was it Backstreet Boys?
Yeah. I'm trying to think, there's like, you got AJ and Howie.
It's Nick somebody.
I'm trying to think of who's who.
Nick, Kershaw? Nick?
Hold on. Let me...
He was on Dancing with the Stars.
Hold on. Let me check.
He was runner-up.
Let me check my cell phone lock screen to make sure who I know is in NSYNC. Oh, okay. No, that's Lance,
yes.
AJ, Chris Kirkpatrick, Joey Fatone, you know, and then Justin Timberlake. I was right. I was on there.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry. Please. There's no Nick in NSYNC.
Okay. Well, it was one in... Okay. So anyway, he...
Nick is clearly a Backstreet Boy.
He lost out to the girl, Steve Irving's daughter.
Oh.
The Crocodile Hunter's daughter.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But anyway, she was featured, they featured her on the show. They interviewed her briefly because he talked about what an influence she had in his life. And another cool thing I found out is that a girl that I've been photographing since she was probably 13 and then, graduated high school from a performing arts high school a couple of years ago and now is in New York trying to make it as a dancer, and she's incredible dancer. She just had a pilot picked up where they are going to track several dancers trying to make it in the big city.
Cool.
And she will be one of them. So if that pilot goes, she will be on TV, and I will be waiting for the phone call where they go, hey, we need pictures of her when she was younger dancing and stuff, you know, so we can show when we do her backstory.
Unless her mom bought all the digital files.
No, her mom didn't buy crap. I don't sell the digital files
to the freaking AMC or the History Channel or whatever.
So I'll be like, I would not even know what I would tell, what that would be.
Well, I don't know.
They can't pay a lot for that stuff. They just get it.
In that case, I would get a call PPA, get a recommendation on an attorney, and get a licensing contract. Although, remember, we had Chrissy Shelsey on way, way back, who's an intellectual property attorney. I would give her a call, Shelsey Law.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, that's good. Because I don't know if that's even something that you
can hope. I'm throwing plugs out like bombs.
Yeah.
Bam.
I know.
Bam.
I don't know if it's something you'd really hope to make any real money off of, because it's such a brief, oh, you know, and then blah, blah, blah. And then she was dancing her whole life, and there's a couple quick pictures that you took of her.
Even if they did like a whole, like 10 seconds of Bure Perry Photography logo on the screen, I'm pretty sure that would result in zero phone calls.
Yeah. And you're not going to get that anyway. They're either going to say, give it to us free, or they're going to give you a very small amount of money, and there's no way in hell your name or logo is going on the screen.
They might put a little copyright.
Courtesy of Bure Perry Photography at the very bottom. You're not going to get anything.
And in which case, they'll go, we'll just use photos of a kid.
Oh, well, her mom took pictures of her dancing or whatever. They'll use that stuff.
Yeah,
because you see that when you see people, when they do that stuff, you very seldom see professional photographs. It's always just selfies and stuff.
Absolutely. Hey, I want to circle back. Can we put our corporate pants on? Let's circle back. I really love the point that you made when you talk about your dance photos of making a day for pictures. I think in little league sports, that happens a lot. Like, hey, this is the Saturday. But when you're dealing with dance schools, club sports, higher end stuff, they really do. They want you to come in and just work around their schedule that they happen to be.
Yeah.
We have had a terrible time getting them to just do a day,
right,
which it would make it more profitable. It would make it easier. Because right now it's like disruptive. You got to go in four nights in a row so you get the practice that every kid is at.
I did that. They brought me in at one studio and they said, oh, and I got there and I looked and there was nobody signed up. And I'm sitting there for four nights.
And not only that, but they hustle the crap out of you. Like, come on, we got to go practice. Because it's not just you, it's all the other coaches and instructors. You're in on their time. The owner of the school or the club is definitely going to make some money off of it. They're going to get a check, and they like it because they get pictures of all the kids for their yearbook and stuff. But the other instructors and coaches, they hate you, and they want you to go away because you're messing with their practice time. Because in the grand scheme of things, and they're trying to get this girl or this boy good enough at this thing to go to college or to go professionally and do it, you're taking time away from that.
Right.
And so they hate you. And so there's no reason why you just, let's do it. Let's go on a Saturday when there's not a tournament or a competition, and let's just do everybody. I could shoot 500 kids on a Saturday.
Sure.
Two booths, 4 hours, everybody's through. Bingo, bango, bongo, it's done. Like, why? I don't know why they mess around with it, but basically because they hate you. But volume is tough.
Well, basically because they don't see it as a way for them to make money.
So narrow it down. If someone says, hey, I'm bidding on this school, I'm bidding on this sport, I'm bidding on this club team, I'm bidding on this whatever, what would be your top three, you must do this if you want to make money shooting volume sports?
They must prepay.
Prepay's big.
They have to prepay.
I will vouch to say that in any club where when we started out, we didn't. And as soon as we did prepay, our sales went up like 75%.
They must prepay. Offer them a guaranteed money back guarantee.
Absolutely.
So, you know, listen, you must prepay. And they're going to balk. Well, we just want to go and look at them. No. I don't. You understand, it's work for me to take a picture of your child. And if you can't at least give me a $45 credit card or a $45 check, then you're telling me right now, no, this is not, you know, where I just do everything and then hopefully sell something. That's not the way it works.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be committed to this thing too.
Right.
So you must prepay. And we get people every year who don't, we get the ones who drop their daughter off. The daughter shows up with a nanny.
Right. Happens all the time.
And the nanny's like, I do, do, do. And we're like, okay, we shoot her anyway. You know, because there's always going to be a couple people and we're not going to send her away. Fine. And we shoot her anyway. But you must prepay. It's, you know, and they're going to balk the first year, but then they're going to get used to it. And they prepay, you prepay for other things. And every year I'll have maybe one, maybe two who are like, I don't like the photos. No problem. I'm going to send you a check.
You know what we do when we do volume, and hold on tight. Yeah, two more things to give me.
Right.
When we do volume, and you do get parents that will ask for refunds sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I find that year after year, it's the same five or six parents at the club. They always complain. So what we've done, and this has eliminated any refunds and problems that are unjustified. One is if it's just a digital order, there's no refund. You have the file. You bought. You look at it.
Yeah. Once you get the digital file, you're not getting your money back.
We don't pre-sell digital files. You can buy the digital file once it goes online.
Talk to me about that, because see, I don't sell the digital file.
Okay, I will tell you this.
We'll circle back to that. Go ahead.
One, if it's a digital order only, there's no refund. You looked at it, you clicked pay, you downloaded it, so no refund.
Right.
Two, if you have a print, like an 8x10, and you want a refund on that, I will gladly refund you, no questions asked, but you have to mail me back your order. I will send you an envelope, pre-addressed and stamped, postage paid. You put your order back in, the whole order, you ship it back to me, and then I will mail you a check.
Right.
No problem. You give back to me,
right.
And I give back to you. And just that little thing right there, because then you go, people go, well, my daughter's hair is messy, and it's just got a weird hair, and I just don't like it. I just don't like the way she's holding the ball. I don't like it. And you go, okay, absolutely. I totally understand. This happens from time to time. I do apologize. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a full refund, but I'm going to send you an envelope,
right?
And I want you to put all the photos back into it, and it's going to be pre-addressed, postage paid. You just stick it in your mailbox, and it'll come back to me, and then I'm going to mail you a check for everything that you paid with my apologies. Oh, well, I don't want to give them back. Like, then you like them enough to keep them? Right. Like,
yeah. You have to understand, it's all or nothing proposition.
Because
you don't get some of your money back because you don't like something about the picture. You either buy the picture or you don't.
After 3 years, it's the same parents. And I find a lot of times that it's the same teams, even.
What I would do is I would save my costs on the envelope. I would just say, here's what I want you to do. Take those pictures, rip them up, drop them on the table, take a picture with your phone of them ripped up, and send it to me, and I'll send you a refund.
That's a little harsh.
No, I had a client who was in another state.
What are you going to do?
I had a client who was in another state who I had done a big, like a 16 by 20 print, and there was one thing she wanted to remove from it. And I said, no problem. Tear it up and send me a picture of it having torn up, and I'll send you a new print. And she did. She was like, oh, it was hard to tear up, but okay.
If
and she
they tore really it up. Don't want it.
Yeah, if you don't want, but I'm not going to send you a second print and let you keep the first one.
Right, And well, a lot of times it'll go to, because we do offer retouching as an extra.
Right.
And if you host through, we do Smug Mug Pro we've used in the past, you can actually add retouching as an option, and they'll retouch and fulfill the order, depending on the lab you use, which is great. And so we don't ever have to see it. But then they'll get the print, and I'll go, well, did you order retouching to remove blemishes or hairs and stuff like that? Well, no. I tell you what. You go through, and if you upgrade to retouching, I'll resend it to you, and you send me the order back or whatever. But like, you're always going to get complaints. But I found that no refunds on the digital orders. And if you sell the digital prints ahead of time or the digital files ahead of time, I found that one, your online print sales after the fact dramatically decrease.
Right.
More, you'll get more up front, and you'll lose some of the back end, but it's disproportionate. Right, so you want to offer print packages up front, have a couple of items that will only be for sale in pre-purchase, like the memory mates that you can get with the team photo and the individual photo.
Right.
Those are pre-order only. You can only get those if you pre-order.
Okay.
And that's it. After that, we don't sell them online because we have to like go through, put them through a program that designs them.
Right.
And it puts the kid's name on them and the whole nine yards.
Right.
Those take time. I'm not going to sit there and do that for the 50 parents that didn't want to invest up front. But we do have a money-back guarantee. If they don't like it, then they don't have to buy it.
See, I do. I know you can't with my packages. It's just package A, package B, package C, and it's just prints. My collages, where it's three pictures and a kid's name, and you get to pick the background. That's online only.
Right. So
it's exactly the opposite. You can only order that online.
What I found is that,
and that's where I make most of my money.
Right. Online.
Well, is with those collages, because you get the company moms who their kid has 10 costumes.
Right.
They're not going to buy 10 5x7s.
No.
But they will buy four or five collages. Each one has three pictures on it with their name.
Absolutely.
And the collage, and you price the collage at the same price that you would two or three 5x7s. Mm-hmm. And so that's how you make the money. Because, it's not that they don't want to spend the money. It's what the hell am I going to do with 10 5x7s?
I think we both agree that pre-sales are, you absolutely have to.
Well, for me, the pre-sale is just A, it gets them committed to the process, and B, it fixes it so that I can have a set closeout date. And after that date, every child I took a picture of will have an order.
Done.
Delivered.
That's pretty good.
You know,
it's a little more draconian than some people will do it. I'd say leave, you can adjust it how you want, but you definitely need to do some kind of pre-order.
Maybe eight out of, and we do two schools, which takes 3 days, and we get maybe eight orders a year, at the most 10, who don't go on and pick out their pictures, and then we just fulfill the order and send it.
Right.
Because you've got one end of the spectrum, you've got the people who, they've got their daughter who's in one class, and they just want the 2 5x7s and 8 wallets. And so you just fill the order and you do it. And at the other end of the spectrum, you've got kids like my daughter who are up there 5 days a week, and they're in a company, and they've got literally 12 costumes, 12 group pictures. But and they, the $45 that they pay up front is, they're going to go online, they're going to pick out all these collages, and they're going to drop
$350.
Yeah. They're going to drop $300 bucks on all these pictures, because they've already spent, like you were saying, they've already spent thousands on the costumes and the shoes and the lessons. So they want those pictures. I want to talk about the digital files.
Real quick. We'll get back to them.
Okay.
Number two thing that you must do in volume photography if you're going to do volume sports. One was pre-orders. What's number two?
I Well, with volume, I don't do volume sports. I do volume dance.
Dance is a sport.
Number two is you must take at least two shots of each child. You must take a full length and take a close up.
Full length and close up.
Yes. Give them a close up. You'd be surprised at how many people get the headshot. And I learned this the hard way. The first year, I just took full lengths in their costumes. And then I realized that what happens is the moms are upset because they feel like there isn't enough to choose from. They want more to choose from. I had to come up here. I had to get her in the costume. I had to get the makeup on her. She was crying about it. I had to get her in front of the thing. She walks in front of the thing and you go, pop, pop, thank you. And they're like, that's it? Oh, I came up with all that for two pops?
It takes an extra 5 seconds to just zoom in to do a headshot.
I go pop, pop, and then I walk in and go, great, stand, put your hands on your hips, turn your feet this way, turn your body back this way, tilt your head, thank you, pop, pop, and now I get that one. And it also is going to help you with collage sales.
Right.
Because now there's two different pictures that they can put on the collage.
Right.
My collage is three pictures. So now it's headshot, full length, group.
Right. Exactly. So now you got more to sell, and it only takes an extra second.
Right.
You don't even have to move the kid. You just zoom in on the first pose, and you got a headshot in a lot of cases. All right, number three.
That's tough to say.
Wasn't it?
I feel if you want to be successful at it, that you really need to start going down the line where you were talking about, where you start to do compositing, you start to do really cool stuff.
Stand out from competition.
Yeah, stand out from the competition.
Almost everybody who's doing volume sports, depending on the area that you're in, you'll start to see a little bit of compositing, but most are still not doing it. They're phoning it in. Really hard.
Right. And this is something that shouldn't have to be said, but for the love of God, deliver in a timely manner and answer your emails. Because that's the biggest thing I hear from everybody I talk to who owns a business or Little League or whatever. It's always, my God, we've had such bad experience with photographers.
Right. But the good news is it's not that hard to stand out.
No, it isn't.
If you take pretty good pictures and give really great customer service, they're not going to let you go.
Yes.
You know?
They're not.
If they're going to let you go, if they have to call you twice, send you three emails, and there's somebody knocking at their door hungry for the work.
Right.
The first year anybody does it, they're going to bend over backwards for their client, and they're going to, the second, third, fourth year, it's easy to sort of let it slide and get less and less attentive to your clients.
Yeah. Let me tell you, this year, for the first time, the first day was Friday night, and I couldn't go shoot it because Bobby had a wedding that night. So I've either got to get someone to shoot the wedding, or I've got to get someone to shoot the dance pictures. And I'm like, okay, shooting a beach wedding can be tricky, but shooting dance pictures on white vinyl, Kevin Newsom.
Newsom.
Kevin, Kevin's
Newsom.
Kevin has forgotten more about this than I've ever learned.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay.
He's going to be great with your client.
Let me tell you, but I had to go back. I had to go back to this client, and because I remember her telling me that the guy before me, that he had sent someone new and didn't do a good job, and that was why she had fired him. So I had to go back to her and be like, listen,
this guy taught me how to do
this guy knows what he's doing. And here's the bad thing. The bad thing is now my daughter, because he actually did my daughter's pictures. I didn't take pictures of my own daughter, right? Oh, she was just like, everybody loved Kevin. He was so nice to everybody, and he was funny, and da 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 da. And I go, more than me. She's like, yeah. They were just, they thought he was, he was, because I just kind of sit there quietly, and I let him pose, and I'm like, okay, great, and I take the picture next. Well, Kevin is like, hey, come on up here. When did Kevin's talking to him, and
You made one fatal mistake.
And I made
a fatal mistake. You let Newsom in on your business.
That's right. That was my mistake. But I'd be the same way if I was shooting for somebody else. You want to make sure you do a damn good job. So you're going to be over the top friendly and everything, and I'm friendly, but I also know that it's a 3-day job. It's like 30 hours of shooting.
Pace yourself.
Kevin, on the other hand, came in for like 3 hours, and he was gone.
So you let loose the noose, baby.
The noose is coming. And
huge mistake.
Now she's going to be like, so Kevin, you don't do this anymore? Because maybe you should think, oh, no, he doesn't do it anymore. He's done. He was doing me a favor. Does not do this anymore.
Yeah.
Forget you ever heard his name.
So I think that's some really
digital
great
files.
Digital files. Go.
I don't sell digital files. How do you sell them? How do you price them?
What we basically do is we bundle them with print.
Okay.
So you can get the digital file for, let's say, for example, I don't know what our exact prices are, just throwing numbers out. So you can get a digital file of a photo from your kids, volleyball pictures, dance pictures, whatever, and it's, let's say, $35 for the digital file. We make it $40, and you get a print and a digital file of $45. It's like so crazy not to get the print and the file. And it's all fulfilled through the lab. I never see those orders.
But how much is the print without the file? So it's like $5 addition to get the file?
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, because I don't care if they have both. In fact, I don't want them to have to come back to me and be like, and you have the file for that. I want the client to have the file, but I also want the client to have a print. And since the lab is fulfilling it, We make it so that the digital file is, let's say, if you buy the file's like $30, but you get the file with a 8x10 for $40. Like, it's just crazy not to get the both.
And what if you want to buy just an 8x10?
You can buy just an 8x10, and it's the same. The 8x10 and the digital file are the same price. To get both, it's like $10 more.
I like $10 more.
And I almost never sell just the digital file. It's always the file and the print. Because people
right.
look
at it. Right, of course it is. Of course it is.
People go, that's crazy not to do it. And so I'm serving my clients, making sure they get a print to hang in their house, not just a picture for their cell phone.
Because I have been knocking this around for years.
Bundle them.
Because I've been knocking around for years, and Bobby's like, you can't sell the digital files. And I'm like, I feel like we're leaving money on the table here.
You are. But you will sell to more parents. The parents, you will have it will increase your penetration, which will increase your bottom line some, but it will not necessarily increase your average per kid. Do you get what I mean?
Okay.
So, like, you're going to get, if you're averaging $50 a kid, this is not going to make you average $60 a kid, but you will average $50 a kid with 8% more parents.
Sell to every parent now.
Yeah, well, there you go. But you, the thing is, then you have to look at it like, I'm better serving my client.
So what about, like, with my collages?
What about them?
Well, there's three pictures in the collage.
Well, you make that an available digital download. Think this way. If you sell prints first, right? Let's say you sell a collage for $45 for one collage, right?
Right.
Let's say that you get the collage and the digital file for $55.
When you say digital file, you mean the digital file of the collage.
Right. So whatever print you're selling.
See, because I think those parents would like to have the digital file of just the image of the kid.
Make it any image that you sell an 8x10 of, make it $10 more to get the digital. Don't sell the digital files by themselves.
Right.
Sell it as a $10 upgrade to the print. Okay, and that way you'll sell the file, they're still getting a print, and you're going to increase your price per parent.
Right.
You know what I mean? They would have, no matter what, they're going to buy that 8x10 of that collage. But would they pay $10 more and get the digital file and the 8x10 of the collage?
What about the group shots?
We sell the group shots the same way.
Then what stops a parent from saying, okay, great, give me an 8x10 of the group shot, they get that digital file, and they give it to all the other parents?
Nothing, but most people don't want to put that much effort in for their own kids, let alone somebody else's kids.
Right.
You know, I don't find that being a problem. All I can say is that if you manage digital files properly, it can increase your sales, but on top of that, you don't want to stop giving prints in lieu of digital files because you're doing a disservice to your client.
Right.
You know, there's so many reasons we've talked about why prints are great. Digital files are great too. I feel that they're really equal as far as greatness, but I think that you should really try to get people to do both. But you can, instead of making $50 off of a parent, you can make $60 if you put the digital file on top of the print, but only with the print.
Yeah, I got to think about that. Because I've always thought, I've got 6 years of digital files for all these kids, and there's got to be a way to make money off them. I know parents got to want them.
You know, my parents used to do in their photography studio years ago. They used to, every year, they would go back to negatives from 2 years before,
right,
back in the film days, and they would basically send out an email or a letter to their clients before email, offering to sell the negatives from their wedding or portrait or whatever for like $500. Right before Christmas, let's say, whatever, and say, hey, get the negatives from your whole... And it was the wedding that was 2 years ago.
Right.
And they'll say, and people would buy them. I mean, they would get maybe out of the whatever weddings they shot, maybe 10 people would buy the negatives for $500. But one, you're getting, you know, an extra $5,000 or whatever right before Christmas. And it's not a bad idea to think about just like going back to the parents and going from 2 years ago, the dance school would be like, hey, we're selling from 2013. Or I don't know how it would work, but
right,
give it a shot. Put your toe in the water.
Right, right. I've thought about that, like going like 2 years back and going, by the way, we're selling the digital files and put them online at, you know, I don't know, $15 a piece or whatever.
Right.
It's just free money.
Why not?
You know, the only concern is you worry that someone will be like, I'm not going to buy prints then. I'll wait till he sells it. They're not going to wait 2 years.
Couple the digital files with the prints and you won't have a problem.
Yeah.
If you just sell the digital file, you'll get a lot of parents that will switch over to just that.
Right.
Because I guarantee you.
But what's wrong with that? Now you don't have any up. Now you don't have any cost.
No, I agree. But again, your cost is covered and you're serving your client. That's just how I feel about it. I think you're serving them better because prints is something they're going to have to find a place to put in their house and they're going to be looking at it.
Right.
And then even when they come into next year's dance portraits, they'll be like, we hung it up and it's been in the hallway for the last year and we just love it and we're going to buy again this year. You're selling to them because basically your work is sitting in their house all year long.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's your work is in their faces the whole time.
All right. I'm going to think about it again. I'm going to open that up for discussion again with Bobby.
Rethink about it. Now, before we go, we got a couple of minutes left. Let's make this real quick. 5D Mark IV rumors. Excited?
Yes,
not excited.
Yes. No. First of all, they're rumors. But from what I saw, it was, okay, so we're going to add from like 25 megapixels to maybe 28 or something like that?
Yep.
4K video, I could care less.
Mm-hmm.
Built-in Wi-Fi, well, of course. I mean, that's a nice feature to have, but...
It'll eliminate me having to have an iFi card.
Yeah, but still, it's not a deal-breaker. It's not a must-buy. GPS, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
ISO is going to go one stop higher.
That is significant to me. One stop is twice the
light. I still got to see it.
Yeah.
Is 6400 going to look like 3200 looks now?
If so, it's worth buying.
If so, then that one stop might be... But is it worth buying? Is it going to be $4,000 for me to get one more stop of ISO?
Or is it going to be 6400 is going to look like 3200 and it gets pushed down the line, so you're shooting an ISO 1000 and it looks like ISO 100 did 5 years ago? That would be...
But I'm talking about if you've got the 5D Mark III, is it going to be worth going to the 5D Mark IV? And I'm seeing right now, I can't see that I'm going to make my money back on that.
I will tell you that the 5D, well, it depends on how you define that, but I am telling you right now, the 5D to the 5D Mark II was questionable whether or not it was worth the upgrade. The only difference is that as a professional, I have to get a new camera every certain amount of time. I put so much mileage on my cameras that unless the 5D Mark IV is a huge piece of crap, I'm going to have to buy it.
Because it's just time. Or you could buy another 5D Mark III.
Yeah, I bought my 5D III in 2012.
Right.
And it's been a fantastic camera.
Yeah, I've probably got a couple hundred thousand actuations on mine.
But then I run the risk, too, of let's say the 5D IV comes out. And if I hold on to my cameras for 4 years, every time I upgrade about every 4 years, I'll get the new version or whatever it is. So I went from the 5D to the 5D II to the 5D III. And that comes out around every 3 or 4, 5-ish years. If I get the 5D III next time, and then the 5D Mark V comes out during that cycle, and I'm waiting 2 years, and I've got a catastrophically much better camera on the market that I'm not using that would be really useful, I'm not going to spend the money again. You know what I mean? But if it's better than a 5D III, even a little bit, it'll be worth buying for me. Because I put... probably 250 billion actuations on my shutter.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Because, see, from the 2 to the 3, file size was bigger. The 3 shoots to 2 cards, and the 2 doesn't.
The shooting 2 cards has been invaluable.
But wasn't that, if I remember correctly, the 5D Mark II doesn't shoot to 2 cards?
No.
Yeah, see, that was huge.
That was huge.
See, for me, that was huge. That alone made it worth the upgrade.
Because now I've been able to do the iFi card, and it's made my on-site viewing of images
nice. Not to mention you've got instant backup.
And that's an upsell for me.
Yeah.
So
that was huge.
Well, the 1 series cameras
the ISO
had 2 slots
forever. The ISO was much better as well from the 2 to the 3, and they put the 7D focusing system in the 3 because the biggest complaint about the 2 was focusing problems.
Autofocus blew.
And they fixed that in the 3. So jumping to the 3 from the 2 was almost a no-brainer.
Absolutely.
But from the 3 to the 4, from what we're hearing anyway, I mean, and I don't know what...
Is it going to be like Microsoft where every other operating system is
exactly,
a turd?
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know what they would have to put in it. For me to, you know, what I want to see, what I want is live view. I want to be able to see my exposure through the viewfinder,
with not just the ambient exposure.
The way you do with a mirrorless camera,
right?
Where you can hit a button and you can see exactly what the picture is going to look like.
Mm.
I would like to see that, and I believe Canon has recently applied for a patent on something that will do that. So, but I can't think of what else they could do that would really be earth-shattering. Oh my God, so they finally did this thing that we
have
to have.
One of the big things, it's always megapixels, autofocus, ISO range, noise, frames per second.
Frames per second do not affect me.
Could give
the autofocus system now is already pretty good.
Built-in stabilizer. Can you even do that with a DSLR?
I don't know that you can. It's built into the lenses that I own already.
Right.
ISO is already pretty high.
Wi-Fi would be cool.
But not something I'm willing to spend $4,000 to get.
Right. Bigger battery pack. Just make it heavier.
I don't have a problem with battery life now.
Me either.
I rarely change a battery.
I'm just trying to think of things that would make it more attractive, like the 5DS or whatever they just came out with that does the 50,000 megapixels.
Okay, they make it more attractive, but I'm just saying the 5D Mark IV is going to have to do something other than what I've
heard. It's going to be, when it comes out, it's going to be, what, a $3,500, $4,000 camera?
I mean, and if that's the case...
It's got to be worth spending $4,000 on
it. I'm just saying, if that's the case, or I can go spend $4,000 and get two
5D Mark
IIIs,
yeah.
I'm going to go buy the two Mark IIIs, and I'm going to take my and put both of them in my kit and be down the road.
I had, the whole time I was shooting with the 5D Mark II, and sorry, Nikon users.
Yeah, sorry.
We're not, nothing against Nikon. This is just in the news. I had complaints. The autofocus was terrible on the 5D Mark II. I had very little complaint. in general about that camera, except that was plaguing me, and I would love the ISO to be better. But for the time, the ISO was great on the 5D2.
Yes.
When the 5D3 came out, since I've had my 5D3, I've had no complaints about it.
No, it's a great camera.
It's a fantastic.
My 5D Mark II is my backup, and I have not shot a frame with it in 4 years.
So it would have
it just sits there.
But like it would have to. Bottom line is, to finish out the discussion that we both agree on, it would have to be a pretty spectacular upgrade for me to want to spend the extra money to move from the.
Oh, 5D3. And it might have a touch screen.
Who gives a crap?
Yeah, I don't give a crap. I wouldn't mind a better live view. And a screen that moves, so you can hold it over your head.
That would be cool.
Because like sometimes you're shooting weddings, and you want to
problem is the ones that flip out too. I can just see myself snapping that mother trucker right off. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't need it to flip out. Just I want tilt it to flip
a little
down.
Bit. Yeah, if it tilted
so
a little,
you can hold it over your head.
That would be cool.
But I mean, I can't think of what big thing I'm like. Oh gosh, I so want this.
I would really like. Here's what I would really like: a built-in infrared autofocus assist into the camera body.
Yes, that so you don't have to have the flash on to get that.
For a wedding photographer, that would be worth the price of admission right there. If you could have an autofocus beam assist like you
Yeah, because when you're shooting with off-camera light, I've had times where if I'm shooting in a really dark environment with off-camera light, I will put a flash on my camera.
Just so you can
just
focus.
So I get the autofocus, and I'll aim the flash at the sky or whatever, so it doesn't, you know, because I don't want to go in and figure out how to turn off the flash.
That would be real. That would be useful.
That would be useful, but still, $4,000?
Yeah. Depends on what the 5D3 price goes to, because everybody's going to be selling them. You could probably get a really gently used 5D3 for $1,800. You
know? Yeah. I mean, that'd be hard for me. I'm just going to stay with the 5D. You know, the two cards was the big thing for me.
Yeah, that was huge.
Once they brought that in, you know, and I don't know, like I said, I can't think of what I really want. What's the thing I'm waiting for?
I'd like that. I'd like more ISO range would be a huge motivator. More autofocus points, believe it or not. I wouldn't mind even a few more autofocus
points. It is going to have more.
Right.
It's going to have like 91. It's going to have 2,462 autofocus points, Gary.
Yeah. It's going to have like 91. 6 million autofocus points.
It's going to have like 91.
That's awesome. I mean, especially when you're shooting headshots and like in shallow depth of field, being able to put that thing right where you want is going to be really cool.
Right.
So.
Okay.
We'll see. I'm sure we're both going to own it, but you know.
Yeah.
Sorry, Canon. All right. So next episode will be from Live from Tampa.
That's right.
Which is really cool. Cool. And then also, you're going to be speaking at PPA Massachusetts coming up.
That's right. That's in September.
September. Okay. And we'll be posting this stuff on the Photobomb Podcast website. Mm-hmm. Also, I will be speaking at TPPA Texas Summer School in Texas in June. And also in July, I will be speaking at the PPA Louisiana in New Orleans at their convention. And I hear that the weather is just delightful in Louisiana in July.
Oh, it's a swamp. It's a swamp.
Not too different.
I got the hell out. Yes, it's awful. And then, of course, the International Photographic Competition is coming up in August.
Can't wait.
I will be hosting IPC Live during the week of the competition.
And I'll be having a drunken viewing party
at
my studio.
All right. That's it for us. You can find us online at Facebook and Twitter.
And see the information on the International Photographic Competition at ppa.com/IPC.
There you go. And you can find me at BooRayPerry.com. You can find Gary at HughesFioretti.com.
Well, thank you.
We will see you next week.
See you later. That was creepy. Sorry. See you later. I had spit in my... Never mind. Bye.